So hi everyone, I'm Tom Pollard. I'm the Outreach Officer for the Datasets Programme at the British Library, and I'm also a lead for the Marketing Outreach Group for Datasite. And I'm going to be talking about Datasite and how we're creating a global citation framework for data. So I'll just give you a background to the foundation of Datasite, talk about some of the services that we're developing, and then talk about this the link between citation and publication. So research is built on good data. When you read an article in a journal like this, what you're reading is an interpretation of some underlying evidence, and that's the author's subjective interpretation of the evidence. When I'm talking about data today, what I'm really talking about is the evidence that underpins articles. And currently there's no widely used method to identify data sets, there's no widely used method to cite data sets, and there's no effective way to link between articles and the data. And what this means is you get this giant gap between article and the underlying data. So articles that are well catered for by libraries, by publishers, but the underlying data is being neglected and it's being lost. This is an example of the kind of thing that we see at the moment. There's an article, it's an interpretation of some underlying evidence. We're interested in seeing the data maybe to validate the story, or maybe because we can reuse the data or combine it with some other data and do something interesting. But then you have a look at the citation, and how are you going to find the data? So all we know is it's from the Committee on Climate Change. And actually the interesting thing about this slide is the article on the left is the print version of the article, and I wanted to blow up the image, so I took this figure on the right from the web version. And one of my colleagues, Max Wilkinson, pointed out that the two graphs don't match. And there's nothing to say in either article, you know, why they don't match. So actually, you know, it'd be interesting to see the data and find out what's going on there. So that's why, you know, that's the background really to Datasite. Datasite is a global partnership. It was founded in December 2009 at the British Library, building on work done by the German National Library of Science and Technology, TIB. With the aim of creating a global citation framework for data. We support researchers by allowing data to be found, by allowing tracking of reuse of that data. We support data centres by establishing a mechanism that promotes discovery and reuse of the data. And we support publishers by enabling a link between an article and the underlying data. We now have around 20 members around the world. So we take a global approach because it's a global issue that we're trying to deal with, but we recognise that national infrastructures differ, so we have members delivering services within their national framework. The German Technical Library, TIB, in the top right-hand corner there, is our managing agent, and they help to coordinate activities of members. So what do we do? At our centre, what we do is we provide persistent identifiers to trusted data centres. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with Crossref. And so Crossref is to publishers what Datasite is to data centres. And what this means is that a data set can be cited with a DOI in exactly the same way as someone would cite an article. We chose DOIs because they're the most widely used identifier for research articles. You know how to use them, researchers know how to use them, and it puts data sets on the same playing field as articles. All data like DOIs resolve to a public landing page. This is an example from the Dryad repository in the US. So for example, you'll have a title for the data set, you'll have a suggested citation for the data set. You'll also have a suggested citation for the article associated with that data set. So for example, this is a data set associated with an article in molecular ecology. You have publication date, and most usefully perhaps you have the data, a link to download the data, and you have licensing information for that. So everything in Dryad, I believe, is CC0. We've had some great support from funders. So this is an example from the Engineering and Physical Science Research Council website. In their policy framework on research data, and as part of their expectations, they're saying that if you're a researcher and you have data, then you should really try to give that data an identifier, put it somewhere, give it an identifier, preferably a data site DOI. And we've had some great support from the Natural Environment Research Council. You may have seen, I think Mark Thorley is talking later on the work they're doing, and also the GISC Managing Research Data Programme. We're developing a number of services. So our core service is the metadata store. This is crucial to everything we're doing. So we have a metadata store, which is a service for data centres to mint DOIs and register associated metadata. And now it's mandatory for data centres to supply us with metadata about the data sets that they mint DOIs for. So we're building this big store of metadata from global data centres. And we're now looking to push out the metadata, increase discoverability of the data sets, and we're doing that through, at the moment, a search tool, just a simple web search, which is in beta, and also an Open Archives Initiative protocol for metadata harvesting data provider, basically an API that people can come along and harvest our metadata. So the metadata store, I've mentioned this, it's a service for data centers to mint DOIs and store associated metadata. There's a web form and an API, and this is what the data centers are using to register their metadata. We have a search tool which you can play around. I won't go into too much detail, but you can have a play around with it. It enables you to search our metadata store, and it's at search.datasite.org. More interestingly, I think, we have this OEI PMH data provider service. So we're encouraging people to harvest our metadata. And so we've had some really interesting discussions with Lee about the academic search and including our metadata in there. And it'll be great to see what comes out of that. Hopefully we'll be looking at citation metrics for data. We'll be able to increase discovery of data. So I think that will be really interesting. And lastly, I just wanted to talk a bit about citation and publication. So this is an article that was published in Nature Biotechnology before DataCite 2009. Where the author said, you know, why don't we just give DOIs to data sets? Because that way we can track citations, we can measure a researcher's reputation through these citations, and we can also establish a priority of data generation. And so that's now what we're doing through DataCite. I think this is an interesting example of where things might lead. So The Beijing Genomics Institute is one of the data centers that we work with in minting DOIs. In May 2011, there was this really nasty outbreak of antibiotic-resistant E. coli in Germany. And there was a race then to sequence and analyze the genome. So lots of different labs were trying to sequence this genome. On the 2nd of June, BGI released the genome into the public domain with a DataCite DOI. Several weeks later, the Rolf Daniel lab, a competing lab in Germany, published the first analysis of the genome as a traditional article. What was really interesting were we started to see this data release almost treated as a publication in its own right. This is an article in Nature News which says, you know, the article findings published by the German lab didn't really differ from the conversation, the discussion that went on immediately following the release of the data on the 2nd of June. And later on the BGI blog, after all this had happened, Scott Edmonds, who was leading the work at the BGI, discussed lessons from giving this data set a DOI. And he talks in the blog about how the lab got this good feeling and positive coverage, you know, for making the data available. And that's not maybe what the credit that the researchers are looking for, but I think it is a step towards data publication being seen as perhaps an equal to article publication. Yeah, it's a baby step maybe, but I think things are going in this direction. And as publishers, you know, why do we care about all this? I think there's opportunity to add value to articles. It's something that's pretty simple to do. You can encourage your authors to deposit data in repositories. You can link your articles to the underlying data. And I think that really adds value to the service that you're giving to your readers. BMJ Open are beginning to do this. Biomed Central 2 are taking a lead on this. And lastly, I just think it's interesting to finish on this slide. It's a slide by Heather Pivovar in Canada, where It's only a small study and there's no causal link, but she suggested that articles where data is shared have a 69% increase in citations. So I think that's just showing the kind of opportunity perhaps that publishers might get from making data available through these through this linking. So that's me. Thanks.
Just point out the interrelationship between the first two presentations, even though they weren't planned that way. And also, if you look at the program for this year's meeting, data and the issues around data are looming really, really large. So I think over time, we're going to be a shift, see a shift in the emphasis of conferences like this from a simple article to all the issues around the underlying data. So it's a really interesting way to link all of the issues. So we'll keep that going. Allison Mitchell is going to update us on transfer.